This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies Podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
Is another apocalyptic prediction about to come true? Winds of death sweep across the world, and whole continents will be cast adrift in an ocean of blood.
Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways. From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 13, The Nest.
The Nest.
This is basically Jaws with bugs.
Jaws with paraplaneta.
Yeah, we're going to get all entomological yes, on this exactly. Bitch here. So paraplaneta, the common cockroach.
Yes,
so what
indeed.
We have is an island, and we put island in quote marks because it's the most absurd island ever. And, you know, this is meant to be a la Jaws.
Yeah, this Amityville-esque island.
Yeah, Amityville-esque, kind of like a, you know, Cape Cod, Massachusetts town. A New England town that has to deal with this infestation of killer bugs, but it's clearly California. And that's as evidenced by A, the cliffs and the seaside and the, you know, blazing sun. And
the palm
B,
trees.
The palm trees. I don't know which part of Massachusetts this is, but anyway, there's palm trees, there's sun, there's cliffs. There's even the accents. Not a single member of the cast has a New England or Massachusetts accent.
Mm-mm.
So this should have tipped you off right there, but still, it's endearing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is Northport, Massachusetts, in quotes.
Yes, indeed.
/ California.
Okay.
And there's the star is a sheriff.
Yeah,
and, sort of womanizer.
Like, yeah, instead of Sheriff Brody, we have Sheriff
Richard.
Richard.
Yeah.
Chief Richard.
Mm-hmm.
And he's
sort of a suave, sort of sophisticated, who's you know self-deprecating, says mm-hmm. you know I'm gonna you know go, you know I'm you know cleaning up the streets, I'm taking care of things.
Meanwhile, the streets. What crime is
yeah,
there?
There's no this island is just a tourist destination.
There's not even a speck of graffiti on the on any wall anywhere. But
there's no graffiti, but there's lots of.
There's lots of paraplaneta.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to that in a moment. Bit of a love triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, our
sheriff is romancing the waitress of the local diner, the local
yeah.
cockroach
who has
the diner.
Yeah, exactly. Who has this interesting soliloquy saying something along the lines of, "Look, I work in this, you know, one horse town or whatever, and you know when you're not around, and this is the third part of the triangle we'll get to in a second. You know, the only man worth crossing the street for, you know, actually talks to me, because somebody else comes running into town. Somebody who went. This is actually kind of ironic because she left." "Quote unquote Massachusetts to go to L.A. You know to find her dreams. When meanwhile this film is clearly shot in L.A. So it didn't really
close
go far.
Trip, yeah, and parts of it in Oregon as well.
Yeah, and this is Beth, and Beth is played by Lisa Langlois, who's a Canadian actress. She was in a number of notable tax shelter pictures. We talked about Tax Shelter mm-hmm. in previous podcasts. Class of 1984, which is a great movie." Notable for being one of the very first on-screen appearances of Michael J. Fox.
Fantastic.
Happy Birthday to Me, Deadly Eyes.
Wow.
Yeah, problem is, this woman, this actress is about as wooden as a plank.
It's very much so, yeah.
I mean, yeah. And she's also the daughter of the mayor, Mayor Elias.
Mayor Elias is sort of a Max von Sydow-esque sort of stentorian sort of paternalistic, gray-haired, mayoral kind of guy. And mm-hmm. little do the townsfolk know, but he struck up a deal with an evil corporation mm-hmm. known as...
Intech.
And Intech is...
Intech brings insects.
Yes, Intech. This company is trying to develop a cockroach that eats other cockroaches. Hence,
yeah.
you know, ridding this pestilence.
under the guise of you know, developing the island and developing.
So he's given them obviously some sort of tax break to set up shop on this island,
right? Which is hilarious when you think about it. Because I mean, did you see one InTech employee? I mean, except for the one that eventually comes in on the island.
No InTech employees are on the island, and their facility seems to be like boarded up. Abandoned
in a parking lot. Yeah.
Yeah, it's blocked off by some sort of like wooden fence.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, of course we have to foreshadow, you know, the deadly mess to come, and you know, so
the foreshadow. There's the, you know, unpleasant death of man's best friend, and so they find this dog who's been stripped of all his bones and muscles
skin and everything, and
they wonder, you know, what could have caused this. So right, of course, the sheriff never sees a homicide in this. You know, in this you know, tourist community.
Yeah.
So.
But, which again, that's another funny thing, because not only did I not see one InTech employee, I didn't see one bloody tourist anywhere on the island. I mean,
this is true. Anyway, they I guess surmise that the canine met its demise through bugs.
Well, you know, I mean, we got it because I mean, the skin dog was covered in what looked like, you know, maybe maggots or something, but they were black. And then we had the local. I'm not going to say exterminator, I'm going to say pest control agent.
As he describes himself.
Exactly.
Yeah, vociferously, he's not an exterminator.
No.
He is a pest control agent.
And his name is Homer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Homer Homer basically examines the droppings and determines that they come from Paraplaneta.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, cockroaches.
So they enlist the help of an entomologist who is flown in and is sporting a hairdo that would probably see her perform at the Grand Ole Opry.
I would say so. Yeah.
This giant, you know, giant wall of hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Giant buffon. And she sort of takes some sort of sick pleasure in watching the mating and whatever other behaviors of these critters.
Yeah, at one point the critters are basically...
It's almost sexual.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly.
Weirdly exploitative.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, Cronenbergian in that sense. Like at one point the critters are basically eating her flesh, and she's getting some sort of sick thrill out of it.
And she determines, I guess...
Dr. Morgan Hubbard.
Yes, that's Dr. Hubbard.
Dr. Hubbard, yeah.
Mother Hubbard in the cupboard. she, to determine that these bugs are really the culprit, she baits them. In one of the movie's more shocking scenes, she baits them with a trapped stray cat and some sort of weird gizmo called a resonator, which we discussed in From Beyond. Anyway, so she...
It always comes back to the resonator. Although there was no lever in this one, was there?
No.
No.
So they put this poor stray in this box, and of course these bugs set upon it, and they just tear the poor kitty to shreds.
Yes, indeed.
And no cats were harmed in the filming of this movie. Apparently they used dye and to obviously annoy the cat. But
yeah.
And then they just sped up the film, I guess, to when it was gyrating and reacting as one would to being eaten alive by insects.
Did they do the same with the Fido at the beginning?
I don't recall.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, the cockroach, one thing I love, I guess this would fit into the sort of like nature run amok genre, which we love.
We love animals gone wild. Horror movies, whether it's Alligator, Piranha, In the Shadows of Kilimanjaro, featuring killer baboons.
Grizzly, Night of the Lepus, Night of the
Peter Cotton Hell, like both, and Night of the Lepus, featuring killer rabbits, killer sharks. Obviously, like I have a Jaws t-shirt, it's one of my favorite movies of all time. Any animal that goes on a rampage, I love it.
Yeah, have you seen The Swarm?
I have not.
Oh my God! You owe it to yourself. See The Swarm. That is one of the that's a future podcast. Like, we'll talk about The Swarm.
We'll get on that for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, one thing about I love and I, oh yeah, like I mean, other good slugs, squirm. I mean, you know, these are the insects. I love the skittering sound that the cockroaches make. You know, instead of the iconic, you know, jaws like da 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 da. I mean, that's one thing this movie is lacking. I mean, we should say this is a Corman production.
Yeah. Corman also produced Piranha, another favorite.
That's true. So obviously Corman's, this was distributed by one of his production companies, Concord, and you know, they're not going to afford it John Williams. I don't think there's much of a score of note, but there was quite a bit of skittering on the soundtrack, which I really got.
If this was a soccer game, this would be a nil-nil score, right?
Yeah, exactly. There, yeah. a good one. I like that. So, As the threat becomes more and more overt,
pronounced,
these cockroaches get bigger and bigger and bigger, and they start to mutate and evolve in some extremely shocking and gory ways.
Mm-hmm. I guess one of their genes mutates with that of a cat, so you get this crazy cockroach feline.
Oh, yeah.
Creature.
Hybrid, yeah.
Yeah, hybrid. Yeah, yeah, a demonic hybrid that goes, runs amok. There's the local, sort of local crank, and who is throughout the movie is wearing a Boston Red Sox hat, so you would, you know.
Not Massachusetts.
Yeah. Massachusetts, yeah, because putting a guy in a hat indicates that it's the state of Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. This guy gets eaten alive by bugs.
Yep, and I like the fact his severed arm sort of moves of its own volition at one point.
I didn't realize these bugs severed limbs, but yeah, exactly. It's interesting.
But, I guess the pièce de résistance is the Elias bug. Mm-hmm. Mayor Elias at one point gets, infested and becomes...
Yeah, interestingly, the mayor, whose daughter is the paramour of this sheriff, the mayor sacrifices himself in order to save his daughter. And she's trying to fend off these bugs using, as one would do if you're in a high-rise fire, putting towels along the base of the door. It's ridiculous. Anyway, these bugs are everywhere. You know, earlier in the movie with the foreshadowing, the sheriff has to spit the bug out of his cup of coffee, which is quite disgusting.
Yeah, indeed,
anyway,
yeah.
The mayor's daughter is saved by her rather heroic dad. Yeah, he sacrifices himself, which is not shown. He's just behind the door.
But I mean, bit of a redemption, I would assume, because he brought the scourge on.
He brought the scourge on,
and then he
sacrifices himself for the greater good. That's kind of.
But that's not the ending. I mean, there is a little bit more after that, right? So we're not spoiling the ending of it just so. But I mean, the other thing is quite interesting. I mean, going back a bit. I mean, there's a scene where Beth, the mayor's daughter, is breaks into this abandoned parking lot, which is supposed to be the headquarters of
Intech,
and she stumbles across a cave with these gigantic cockroach nests. And Chris, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but do they not look like just giant testicles?
or boxing heavy bags or something?
Yeah, not
bizarre.
They look like testicles, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, forget about it. They look like balls, you know. So, on our patent rating scale, Chris?
1 meaning a must-miss, 5 being a must-see. Yeah. The Nest, just great, great fun.
Great fun, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to give it 5 stars.
No.
I'm not going to give it 4 stars. I mean, it is fun. I'm going to give it a solid 3.5. What about you?
Some of the same. It's just, it's got some pretty hilarious continuity errors, again, where... a truck is driving down the road, and on one side there's the ocean, and then they cut to the other side and there's an ocean as well. It's supposed to be an island, so that's just really terrific and really very charming.
Mm-hmm.
3.5, but because I love animal attack movies, I would maybe give it 3.75, maybe a 4, but it's a tough one.
Yeah.
Anyway, what did we learn from The Nest?
Without any facetiousness whatsoever, I learned that the entomological name for cockroaches is Paraplaneta. I did not know that beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that there is don't just go banging about the term exterminator, you know, it's pest control agent.
Indeed.
You know? It's sort of like, you know, you were once a janitor, now you're a
custodial engineer.
You know?
Yeah, indeed.
So, yeah, I learned that. I learned that... there really is only one Jaws. I mean, you know, there's been many.
Except no imitators, what you're saying?
Except no exterminators. The fact of the matter is, I mean, I love all these Jaws ripoffs. You know what I mean? But or homages, if you will. But I mean, really, Jaws is sort of the.
One thing I learned is if you have any sort of stock footage, you're just compelled to use it. So in the director's commentary, he said they had footage of a fire, so they just decided to use that for a building that blew up. I think the pest control agent ended up blowing up a building. There's a character who met his demise driving a pickup truck that was infested with cockroaches, and they, of course, attack him while he's driving. He goes over a bridge, and just the truck just explodes in the middle. So they had this truck exploding stock footage, and they just had to use it. So, there you go. If you have stock footage, you use it. Anyway, for more, check out reallyawfulmovies.com, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care.